Ann Arbor, Michigan at Shekinah Church, and she will introduce her friend, I'm sure, that's here also with her. And she's part of the Equipping team. She's also a corporate trainer, and her main desire, as I shared Friday night, is that she wants to see God's people walk in the fullness of the kingdom principles. And so if we could stand and welcome her, she comes and gets shared with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for such a warm welcome this morning. Please be seated. We're so thankful to the Lord for being here again with you. I just want to say to Pastor Perry and Pastor Lois and Denny and Deborah and Diana and Steve, these were such hospitables. Appreciate the invitation for Friday night and yesterday afternoon, your kindness as we shared a meal together and walked in fellowship. Thank you so much. And for allowing us to come and be a part of what God is doing here, Miriam, we are very, very grateful. And whoever did that wonderful basket, who wants to own up to that? Marty. Where's Marty? Marty, thank you so much for that wonderful basket that I'm going to have Ayo go back out in the car shortly so that it doesn't cook in the heat and to sneak it in the back and sit. But thank you for causing us to be abundantly filled with good things. Thank you. And so it's just good to be here. It's a pleasure to have Ayo traveling with me. She's been traveling a little bit more with me this year. We've been doing some mentoring with her and just some activation. So I'm going to have her come. I'll tell you a little bit about Ayo. Ayo sings on our worship team. He's part of the worship team at Shekinah. She also, along with her husband, leads a small group. She has two small children that she left with her capable husband this weekend and to come hang out with me as we come to serve and be a blessing to you guys. She's been in the U.S. for 7 years, about 7 years now. She's Nigerian. She's from Lagos, Nigeria. But she got married to one of our guys, and he brought her back. And so we own her now, so she's twofold. She's got 1 foot in Nigeria, one here in Ann Arbor and Shekinah with us, and we're so thankful to her. But apart from all of that, she's a passionate lover of God. I mean, just loves the Lord and very sweet, very intense in the spirit realm. Calm on the outside, deadly weapon on the inside. You know, she's an intercessor, strong prophetic teaching mantle on her life. And she's emerging. She's an emerging leader in the body of Christ. And we believe in activating the young adults and our young men and women to say, come on, become everything that God has designed for you to be. So if you will, give her a warm welcome this morning. And let's welcome Ayo.
Thank you. Good morning, church. I'm so happy to be here. First, I want to say thank you to Pastor Perry and Pastor Lois. Thank you to Pastor Tanya for bringing me along. And thank you, church, for having us. I'm so grateful to God for this weekend. I'm so excited to be here. God is good, and his mercies endure forever. Very recently, I mean, like for the past few weeks, God has put a song in my heart. Like even if I'm walking or whatever I'm doing, there's this song that has been playing in the back of my mind. And I think it is needful. It is important for us all to hear it and to reassure ourselves of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness, of God's commitment to us. So I will just sing briefly and share briefly before Pastor Tanya comes up. The song is Made Away by Travis Green. I will sing the chorus and maybe the bridge. You made a way when our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over. You made a way, and we're standing here only because you made a way. backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over. You made a way, and we're standing here only because you made a way. You move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles, there is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you made a way. You move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles, there is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you made a way. You made a way. When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Yes, God is good. He who would not spare his one and only son, but freely gave him up for us, how would he not give us every good thing we need? How would he not give us all we ask? You know, we are his children, and God cares so much, so much about us. He gave his only son to redeem us, to make us his own. He wants us to live in that consciousness every day, regardless of what is going on around us. Our reality is heaven. Our reality is that we have God in us. We have God in us every day, every time. We have his seed in us. So, and you know, 1 John 4 says, as he is, so are we in this world. So you can imagine God walking through what you're walking through. And what would God do? How would he handle the situation differently? Our reality is not the body. Our reality is the spirit. Is that new man? Is that strength? Is that life of God in us? So God is encouraging us. I mean, and he's bringing us to remembrance. When you go through situations that seem to be unpleasant, remember, just like David said, you know, when he was going to confront Goliath, he said, I remember how I dealt with the lion in the back of the desert. I remember the bear. How less you uncircumcised Philistine. So God wants us to remember, you know, when it seems as if situations are not pleasant, remember how he brought you through the last time. That is your lion. That is your bear. You know, how he brought you through the little victories. He can still do it. Moreover, you have his life. You are God's. Don't you know that you are God's and sons of the Most High? You know, that is God's encouragement for us this morning. He wants us to live in the reality of that every day, everywhere we go. Regardless of what is happening, is God walking? Is God walking the earth? We are his children. We have an inheritance with the saints. God loves us, and he wants us to be aware of that. He wants us to be constantly aware of that. Every day, everywhere we go, he wants us to decree, you know, he will decree a thing and it will be established. You will decree a thing and it will be established because you have God's spirit. If God will say it and it will come to pass, you will say it because you are speaking based on God in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much.
Amen. All right. It's always good to be encouraged. And you know it's just not words, right? You know it's something that someone has experienced or someone's walking through or standing in. You know, it's one thing to have people say things just because they say it. And there's another thing to have a person say something because they're living it. When you live it, you can impart it. Amen. Now, Friday night, I went through two mics. So I'm going to try not to do that today. I'm going to try not to do that today. Amen. Listen, this is a word I believe that's for this house that I want to release. And I've been kind of meditating since I've been here on Friday when I arrived to say, God, how would you like me to deliver it? And there were a couple of things that I felt God wanted to deposit. And so I was patiently waiting. And I believe that I have what God wants to release today. And so I just encourage you to just open your hearts
really just to just receive this deposit. And I believe in the months ahead, we're going to see some great fruit on the return from what I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. I want to talk about the heart today. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 speaks a powerful truth. It says, guard your heart. And I said, God, why is that significant in Marion this time? And God said this to me. He said, I didn't say withhold or protect in a way where you withhold your heart. I told them to guard their heart. There's been some things that have happened individually and corporately that has brought to the table the withholding of the heart. God wants to unlock that place today, where there's no longer a withholding of the heart, because that's old season. But there is a guarding of the heart that reflects the new season. In the earth today, there are many things that are going on that is disturbing the peace and the tranquility of the heart. And the enemy, if he cannot apprehend us in blatant sin, his intent is to pollute or dilute or invade the space of our heart. But I believe that the word comes to rescue us from the plans of the enemy. The word comes as a warning to us so that when we are faced with certain circumstances and situations, we are able to grab the word of God that came beforehand to deliver us from all of our distresses and all of the plans of destruction, so that we can walk in a place of wisdom and we can walk in a place of knowing and understanding times and seasons. You need to take a look at the people around you and you need to say to God, let me see them again in a different light. Let me see them and let me look at them and let me say, we're still standing. Having gone through many things, we're still standing. Having experienced unprecedented disappointment, we're still standing. Having overcome depression, and I believe that's a big one, we're still standing. I believe that depression has found its way in the chambers of our heart. It may not be everyone, but there's someone, depression has found its way into the chamber of your heart. Just like there are people who can be functioning alcoholics, there are people in this room who are functioning from the place of depression. But God is coming to cause you to come into his oil change place, so to speak, so that the depression in the chambers of your heart that has caused you to pull away from the presence and the destiny that God has for you because you feel as though time has passed you by. And you're like, okay, I'll settle in and I'll just do this. I come to fire you up today to say not just business as usual, not just going through the same motion, but God is coming and he's changing. Hear me this morning. He's changing your tires. He's not rotating them. Some of your tires are worn and it's time for them to come off. Some of your front tires hit some potholes along the way and damage. And so you're out of alignment. And God is coming to bring a balance within your heart so that you will not withhold your heart, but that you will give your heart freely, but yet you will guard your heart strategically. You will give your heart freely, but guard your heart strategically. You will give your heart freely, but guard your heart strategically. You're not to guard your heart from each other. You're to guard your heart from the enemy. You're to guard your heart from the things that come to steal and rob your faith. But you are to freely give your heart to one another. You are to freely give your heart to the community. Freely give your heart to the vision that God has given you. Freely give your heart and stir yourself yet again, for there is an end result that God is looking for. And so he's saying, I'm coming to change some tires. I'm not replacing the front or the left tire. I'm not rotating the tires from the front to the back. I'm coming to give you a whole new set of tires so you can get a little more mileage out of this here situation. Anybody rode on ball tires before? Anybody been stuck in one of the Midwest winters with ball tires? Increases your prayer life exponentially. You be hata shata, mahata hata hata. God, just get me home. But see, God doesn't want our prayers focused in on our ball tires. Come on, y'all. Trying to get us from one destination to another destination. God wants to put some new tires on our journey. And he don't want to put the little low-end tires on our journey. You know, you go to Sam's Club, or you go to, where else you go? In Michigan, we have discount tires, Walmart, and they always make sure they introduce you to the low-end tires, as though you cannot afford to have high-end tires, as though you cannot afford to have the tires that can go through all the conditions all at one time, because it might cost you a few extra $100. But today God is putting on some tires, and he's doing some things in our heart this morning so that we can go a little further, so that we can ride just a little bit smoother, so that we can enjoy the ride and not feel all the bumps. Somebody gonna get it this morning. Enjoy the ride and not feel the bumps. There's some bumps you've been feeling that has caused you to stay in the ride, but you're not enjoying the ride. God is coming. He's coming. He wants you to guard your heart, but not hold your heart back. He wants to say to all of us, young adults, he wants to say to the seniors, get involved. He wants to say, stir yourself up again. Don't just sit and let other people do it. Get back in the race again. God's got some visions that's been in your heart, and you've put them off to the side. God's got some things he's been stirring, but you're like, I can't find the faith to grab a hold of again. And today is the day to say, I'm ready to grab a hold again to the things that God has put within my heart that he wants me to do, that he wants me to carry out, even in this place. Because he didn't call me to Marion Christian Church for nothing. He brought me to MCC for a reason. I'm here for a reason. I'm a part of this clan for a reason. I'm a part of this community of faith for a reason. And I want this community to know, here I am, fully in attention. I'm not holding my heart back. I'm not withholding my heart. But I'm opening my heart to the movement of the Spirit of God. And I'm saying, God, here I am, everything that you want from me. I'll guard my heart from the enemy. I'll guard my heart from fear, from doubt, and unbelief. I'll guard my heart from carnality. I'll guard my heart from deception. I'll guard my heart against pride. Pride comes before a fall. I'll guard my heart against hatred. I'll guard my heart against jealousy, envy, strife. I'll guard my heart against confusion. I'll guard my heart about disappointment. I'll guard my heart about fighting and backbiting. I'll guard my heart against these things. I'll guard my heart against giving up. I'll guard my heart against long-term grief. Grieving longer than you should. Grieving as though you have no hope. Longing for what will never be again. carrying burdens that God didn't have you carry. Guard your heart from these things. In Proverbs, it goes on to say, you want to do this because out of your heart are the issues or the rivers or the wellsprings of life. We talk about guard. It means to maintain your heart. Your heart needs attention. Your heart needs continual evaluation. Your heart, the inner man, needs constant reminders that we're still in the faith, that we're still holding on to what it is that God has given us to do. He says, you're to do this diligently, or another translation says, with all vigilance, meaning keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. Danger and difficulties can cause your heart to be polluted if you don't marry it with the word of God for the season that you're in. It is important that we function from the present day word of God for the season that we're in. The prayer that the Lord taught the disciples was, give us this day our daily bread, meaning give us the word for today. And God is saying something about today and this hour to this community of believers. And he's saying, guard your heart. There are several pictures that I saw. One was the changing of the tires that was going to cause some momentum to be established within the hearts of the people today. And I saw it. I saw cars pulling in, not like the quick oil change place, but like the speedway, like the speedster racetrack. Yeah, like the Indy 500 pit stop. Okay, it's like that, where you don't have to sit for long. That's why if you can hear this word, you can grab it quickly. You can get your tires changed really quickly. We're not talking about come in and they do what? You know, when you go to quick oil change, could you give me your email address? Could you tell me what type of oil would you like? They go through all this long list, and then you sit there with some little incompetent person, takes the oil cap off of your thing and doesn't put it back on right. You know, they half check your tire. You know what I'm saying. Anybody been to one of those? No, we're not talking about that kind. Because see, what God wants to do, he don't need incompetent people doing it. He needs people who are understood that their job, oh, come on, in the pit stop, they understand, they practice, and they practice with precision how to change those tires and get them ready for the next leg of the race. And God is here with precision this morning to change our tires to get us ready for the next leg of the race. And so it's not a long pit stop you got to come in. I'm talking about within seconds. Seconds to realize that God has spoken a live word to you and you say, God, that's me. Give me my tires. And if you can say that and by faith and believe it, right now your tires are being changed. That's one picture I saw. The other picture that I saw was God was saying it's time to come back to the table. That was interesting. And I said, come back to the table. What does that mean? There are some of you who've left the table, and God says, come back to the table of strategy. Come back to this table of strategy where you come together to strategize. I don't know what it means. I'm just saying to you what I saw. Where you strategize what it is that God is doing in the season of the now. Come back to the table. So I saw that, and I saw people around the table, and I saw chairs, and I saw parchment paper and strategies and writings being put on this paper. And so I saw a shift and a change. So I don't know what it means. I'm just telling you what I saw, and you guys take it for whatever. That was the other picture that I saw. And then there was one more picture that I saw, and this picture was an interesting picture because it was a coffee shop, and there were two chairs at a bar in a coffee shop. And it represented two individuals who had never sat across from each other and had a conversation. And so I said, God, what does that mean? God says it's time. You've been guarding. You've been protecting your heart. And you need to come to the table. And you need to go ahead and fellowship and sit down and have a conversation with that individual that you haven't been conversing with. I don't know who that is. I don't know how that is. But I do know that there are people here who come into the community of faith who know one another that have never sat across and dialogue with one another for whatever the reason. And God is saying, in this new season, I'm shifting that. And I'm inviting you to bring the person to the chair and to sit and exchange and have a cup of coffee or something. So that's the third thing. I don't know what it means, and I'm not trying to figure out what it means. But it's all linked to the heart. It's all linked to the place where that was something you used to do, but now you stop doing it. It would be something that you used to maybe in your early walk. You hung out and did little things like that and spotted people and went beyond your comfort zone to connect with them. But something happened along the way and you began to withhold your heart. You begin to withhold your heart. You begin to withhold your heart. And you say, well, that's not something I want to do any longer. And God is saying, come back to the table and don't withhold your heart. Guard your heart, but don't withhold your heart. And I believe that there's strategy for you in this season. Because those individuals that you are withholding your heart. And this is different even for men. Men tend not to do it, period. If men don't come across the table, typically it's because their wives then set it up. And they say, we got to go to this outing or we got to go to this fellowship. And they like, really? Okay. All right. Do I have to go? How long do we have to go? They get the stopwatch and they say, okay, I need to get back. I need to get out of here. But I believe that God wants to do something with the men. The men at MCC, he wants to do something with you. And I don't know where your meeting place is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be coffee. I don't know where it's going to be. But there's a shift that God wants to do with the men here in MCC. Y'all ought to say amen to anything I'm saying. Okay.
All right.
I know you're listening. You have to understand. You know, that's just how it makes us preach better. But I'm okay. So I want you to, thank you. I want you to see those pictures and let God speak to you. And I'm going to continue on with a few more scriptures. So again, you want to guard, you want to keep your heart. But with all vigilance. And above all things that you guard, that's what the writer says. Above all the things that you guard, above all the things that you guard, above all the things that you maintain, above all the things that you protect, he said, let it be your heart. A heart represents our mind, our will, our intellect, our emotions, the seat of our existence. He says, what are you to do with that? You're to maintain it, you're to protect it. And then I'm going to read the scripture, and I'm going to come back to the scripture when I'm done. Psalms 90:12. And it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our heart unto wisdom. I don't care whether you're 15, 25, 45, 55, 75. The word of God says, teach us to number our days. There are things that only we can do within the time allotted for us to do it. On Friday night, I told the congregation in the regional meeting, you can't take knowledge to the grave. You can't take wisdom to the grave. You can't take money to the grave. You can't take anything to the grave. So it behooves us to number our days so that we make sure we're doing and living out the things that God has given to us to do. And to do it with precision. And I'm going to come back to what that means and my conclusion. As we continue on, I want you to journey with me to Psalms 34. Earlier, I spoke about depression. And I believe that there's a place of depression that has entered. And I'm talking about to the faithful. People who have been faithful. People who have been committed. People who have stood. Yet you're battling with depression. You have an unknown battle with depression. What do I mean by that? You're not clinically depressed, but people around you don't really know that you're struggling and that depression nights are long. times are difficult when you're not around other people. And God had a word for you. And it was Psalms 34. He says, the righteous cry, and I'm in verse 17, and this is for you. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. When you are crying, and nobody knows that you're crying, because you're faithful, you're one of the pillars. I'm speaking to you because you're a pillar. You're a pillar in the kingdom. You're a pillar in the faith. And yet you're struggling with this thing. You don't need medication or anything like that. It's just that it's been difficult for you. And sometimes you feel this isolation and this place of isolation that causes you to feel bowed over and causes you to feel bowed down. It says the righteous cry, that individual, those individuals this morning, but the Lord is hearing you to deliver you. Deliver you how? That word means to snatch away, to defend, to pluck up, to preserve, to recover, or to rescue. As you cry, tears that people see and tears that people don't see, God is there to pluck you up, snatch you away, defend you, preserve you, recover you, rescue you. Out of all of your troubles, not some. He's watching every single thing. And God told me to tell you this morning, he's watching every single thing concerning you. It says, I'll deliver you out of all of your troubles. The Lord, verse 18, is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Still functioning, still moving, still doing the things that you do, but your heart is broken. He says that he saves such that be under of a contrite spirit. Contrite means like powder. Like your heart has gotten to a place, it's like powder. If anybody really knew, if I could pull back the curtain to really see what you really look like, you look like powder. One good strong wind, blow you away. But nobody around you really knows that that's what's going on. Broken means broke down, broke off, broken pieces, broken up, crushed, destroyed. It's an inward place. It's a place within the heart that God is coming today to heal and to mend, whoever you are. Nigh means that he's near you. He's not near you in distance. He's near you in place and time. Right where you are, he is. That's what nigh means. Right where you are, he is. So right in that place where you feel that depression creeping in, and you know by faith you're doing everything that you can. You're warring against it. You're standing against it. That's not the issue in this conversation this morning. The issue in this conversation this morning is that God wants to let you know that he is right there in right time with you to snatch you up out of that place so that the enemy will no longer have the rule in that area, but that he will come along and teach you how to maintain and guard your heart in a way that brings life, freedom, and deliverance. Verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many, many. And you know these scriptures. You preach these scriptures. You've counseled with these scriptures. You've said these scriptures to others. But God is coming to you today to repeat these scriptures back to you. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God says, I delivered them out of them all. Not some, all. You've sat across prayer counseling tables and you've talked to people and you've prophesied and you've shared with people and you've shared some of these very things that I'm saying, but the voice of the Lord is coming to you today to say it back to you. Many have been your afflictions, but I am here to deliver you out of all of your afflictions. I'm here. I'm the God that understands where you are. And in the name of Jesus and by the authority of Jesus, I exercise dominion over depression even now. And I break it. I break it in the name of Jesus. And before the day is out, I want to pray for you. I won't have you come up right now, but I do want to pray for you. I just want to lay hands on you and pray for you. A few more scriptures. Is this okay? Is this talking to anybody yet?
Y'all make me feel like I'm at the... It's okay. It's okay. I feel all the amens. Psalms 86, 11 ties back into teach me to number my days. It says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in the truth. Teach me the way. There's always multiple ways, but teach me the way. Teach me your way. Teach me the way. Teach me the right way. Teach me your way. If you teach me your way, O Lord, I'll walk in what? I'll walk in the truth. I'll walk in your truth. That's Psalms 86, 11. I'll walk in your truth. But then look at the second part of that. He says, unite my heart. Pull it back together again. Unite means something had to be fragmented. In order for the scriptures to stay unite, that means something has been fragmented. It has been ununited. And what is it? It is our heart. It is the heart. I'm not saying the whole piece is off. It's just pieces have broken off. Things have gotten in. Pollution has come. And he says, if you're going to teach me your ways, I want to call out and say, unite my heart to fear your name. Pull me back together again. Pull all the pieces that have gotten disjointed. For all of the various reasons that they have gotten disjointed, pull it back together again so that we will all in one accord, my mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect, my understanding, will come back to the place again where we fear the Lord collectively. Sometimes if we could get a picture of what we look like, we'd look like a jigsaw puzzle. Spread it out over the table. And God says, I'm going to put these jigsaw puzzles back together again because they're not reflecting the picture that they really are. You see, all the pieces are there. They're just not showing the picture. But when you unite it, when you put those pictures back to pieces back together again, you get the right picture. Psalms 119 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. David said this. He says, I don't know how to ward off and maintain the things that come to attack my heart. David says, but I believe it's your word. So your word and your precepts and your truth, I hide them down in my heart. I hide them again in the places where doubt has crept in. And I want to say that to someone. And this is in reference to your vision that God has given you for your life. I don't know if it's your life, your family, your ministry, or whatever it is. But there's doubt that has crept into the place of your vision. And that doubt, as it has seeped into the place of your vision, it literally is has created a bed of sin. But because to know to do something and don't do it, God says it is likened as sin to us. And so I want to encourage you, get rid of doubt, get rid of fear, and say, God, if you said it, it shall surely come to pass. Give me the faith again to believe you, to run with it. Psalms 139, I said this on Friday and I say it again. Search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's 139, 23, and 24. Come back to the place where here's my heart. Search it. Let the spotlight of your love search my heart again. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're middle age. What matters is that your heart and the condition of your heart is your responsibility. It is our responsibility, what we see, what we think, how we feel. It is our responsibility to steward it under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes a heart sick. When things don't happen, your heart begins to catch a cold. I'm just making it simple. First time something doesn't happen is just a head cold. Y'all know the difference between just a head cold. You just need a couple of days, and what happens to the head cold? It'll go away. But if things keep repeatedly happening and your resistance goes down, then you run the risk of an infection.
And when you get an infection, you can't just weather it out. You need to go to the doctor and get some antibiotics. Now, depending on the level of the infection, one round might do you. But if you ever really, 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 really been sick and one round didn't do you, I never forget the time I had to have three rounds of antibiotics because I caught something overseas that grew faster than weed in your rose garden. And we couldn't get it. I couldn't get it out. And because of that, I lost my voice. Hope deferred causes the voice to go quiet. So be strong in your declaration, strong in your faith, and you stop declaring. Because the heart got sick. And he's coming today to say, I got not just antibiotics. I got an infusion that literally will go through every chamber of your heart and heal. Because the other side of that is that, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. When things are fulfilled that we've sought the Lord for, it becomes a tree of life and others get to participate from it being fulfilled. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Makes you look good. When your heart is being maintained properly, it makes you look good. It really does. Even in the natural, when your heart is in good shape in the natural, you can run a little swifter. You can go up and down stairs without a whole lot of problems. But what happens when you got clogged arteries? What happens when you have blockages in your natural heart? What happens when there's high blood pressure in the natural? Things happen physically to us. I don't believe it's by accident that he tells us a merry heart is like medicine. It's medicine in the natural, but it's also medicine in the spirit realm, and it makes you look better. It makes you and I look better. We talk about the glory of God. I believe this is an hour that the glory of God is going to rest upon his people in a new way. I believe this is the season of the manifestation of the glory of God. And I'm going to tell you something about the glory of God. It's going to be you telling me that the glory of God is on me. The glory can be seen, but you can't see the glory on you. Moses didn't see what the people saw on him. Moses just came down, unbeknownst to anybody, come on out of the presence of God, and the people were like, cover up. I imagine Moses was like, what's wrong with y'all? Y'all crazy anyway, but what's wrong with you really this time? They said, cover up, we can't even look at you. I believe that there's beauty. There's a radiance, there's an anointing, there's a glow that God is releasing upon the faithful. He's releasing upon those that have stood and have endured. And I believe many of you have stood and have endured. And this is the hour that God is coming. And he's dealing with your heart. And he's coming back again to say, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. For the glory, my glory shall be seen upon you as I cause your heart to be reunited again. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. We can't stay in those places where we're broken. We cannot stay in the place of discouragement and disillusionment. But we must rise. I'm going to end with my scripture. Psalms 90. I'm 5 minutes over again. I did it again. I'm trying to stay within the allotted time. He told me 12:10. I'm 5 minutes over. Can I finish this one point? Okay. All right. Back to Psalms 90 and 12. Number means here, he says, so teach me to number my days. I'm bringing what I say into a final conclusion. We've talked about heart and that God is here to teach us how to guard our hearts again. And he wants to teach us how to guard our hearts, because out of it are the springs of life. It's our source of living. Our hearts represent our mind, our will, our emotions, our thoughts, and our intellect. The enemy comes to strain our hearts, pollute our hearts, discourage our hearts, so that the glory of God doesn't rest upon us. The place of depression has been pinpointed today in some of you, so that you, those pillars who are standing strong but yet are weeping in silence, to remind you that God is right there in time and in the place where you are to meet you. So it comes back to say number, teach us, teach us, teach us. Teach us then how to number our days. I don't know what age you are, but if you were to take a calculator and multiply your years by 365, you would get all the days that have already gone by. That'd be a lot of days. I know somebody's going to do it while I'm preaching. Who's got their calculator out? Let's just do one. We'll do a random number. All right, let's do 60. Let's do 60 times 365. 21,900 days have already gone. Now, if God blesses us to live from 60 to how far you want to go? 80? Let's go 80. 80 is a good, that's a good number, right? So from 60 to 80 is what, another 30 years? All right, I was trying to get y'all 30, but all right. All right. Okay. So we have how many days left? Left. Give me 20 years by 365. How many days I get? 7,300 days left. That's if nothing else happens in between. And y'all know life does happen on occasion. So if I only got 7,000 days, I've already gotten rid of 20-something thousand. I've only got 7,000. It behooves me to say this scripture. So teach us, teach us, teach us. Teach us to number our days, count them, reckon them. Teach us how to assign our days. Teach us how to tell our days what they are for. Teach us how to appoint our days. Teach us how to prepare. That's what the word number means. It means to count, to reckon, to number, to assign. Tell, to appoint, to prepare my 7,000 days I got left. See, that's why I don't have time for my heart to be fragmented. Because I need to number the days that I have left. Wouldn't that stop a lot of crazy arguments? If I live because I know in any moment I'm out of time into eternity. We all going there, so I don't care how good we look today, we all going there. I don't care what color your hair started out being, it's going to go gray. Or bald. I don't care how strong your legs were and how much you could jump high, you're going to start walking a little slower. And you're going to feel things that you didn't feel before. So teach me to number my days. That's why young people, you don't need kids before it's time. You don't need children without being married. You don't need to live lifestyles that cause you to reap unnecessary harvests. We need to teach you how to live as a teenager, so that your 20s are better. We need to teach you how to live in your 20s so your 30s are better. You don't have to explore everything to have quality of life. You don't have to explore everything to have fun. Teach us how to number our days. In other words, be in tune with the life that God has given you, because God has given you a life for a reason, and every life has a number of days. Teach us. Assign some things to your day. I will bless the Lord at all times. That's my assignment for the next 7 days. I will acknowledge him in all my ways, and he'll direct my path. I assign myself to do that over the next 7 days. Put some numbers and assign it some task. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts. Our hearts. What's our hearts? Our mind, our will, our emotions, our understanding. We need to apply these things to wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom in this scripture is skill, as in war. That's what it means. So that I apply my intellect, my will, my emotions, my understanding as though I am in war. Why does the scripture talk about the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds? Teach me to number my days that I can give my heart to wisdom. I want to skill myself so that as she spoke about David, I can slay lions and take care of bears so that Goliath is no problem when I come up against him. See, if I number my days, if I'm not idle, if I'm on purpose living, and if my heart is not fragmented and brought back together again, and if I allow God to begin to deal with me and teach me how to maintain my heart and guard my heart for out of it, out of the issues of life, then when that occurs, another definition for wisdom is administration. I know how to put things in order. There's a strategy. Administration is the ability to carry out something in a skillful way. I can administrate my days. I can administrate my journey. Man makes the plan. God directs the steps. But God said, get in the plan, guys. Quit living from a place of just drifting, but be intentional in what we do. Another word for wisdom is shrewdness, prudence, wisdom, ethical, and religious wisdom. So I'm going to end with that today because I believe that's the word in this house. You've come so far. You count all the days. Those days are done. From this moment forward, there's an allotment of days, provided that nothing else happens. How will you number them? What will you give your time? Your energy. Your money. Your talent, your gift, your strategy. How will you realign now that your wheels have been changed? From this day, what will you do differently? Because you're on the verge of a brand new season. MCC is on the verge of a brand new season. Come back to the table. Come back to the strategy. Come back to the purpose. Have some coffee. I'm serious. Have some coffee. Say I'm sorry. Say, forgive me. Say, let's go again. Say, let's run again. This is a new day. This is a new day. God is doing a new thing. I know that you have prayer teams, and they're going to pray. But I specifically felt that place of the hidden, I call it the hidden pain. I guess maybe as a leader, I'm just more sensitive to that. I'm sensitive because as a leader, I know what it takes to lead. It's not always easy. So what I want to do is I just want to pray, if that's okay. instead of having everybody come up and pray. I just want to pray. I want to deal with that one area, that inward place of just struggle and depression. And I'm just going to have everybody just close their eyes and just bow their head, and I want to pray. If that was you specifically that I spoke to, and it was you, just slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up. Okay. All right. Father, I thank you, God. You see the hands that were raised. Oh, Father, you know the response to that word, how it brought light and even understanding to that place. I thank you, God, for your love. I thank you, God, for your grace. And Father, even now, I ask that new wine and fresh oil be poured into the chambers of their heart. And I thank you that that fresh oil and that new wine mingle together. God, that it is in that that the mending and the healing and the wholeness, not just the healing, but the wholeness, God, is taking place. And I break off the residual effect of the past. I break off, in the name of Jesus, hope deferred. I break off, in the name of Jesus, the withholding of the heart. I break it off now by the authority of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for joy, for peace, and for your goodness to be seen in the months ahead in a new way. From this transformation of the heart, I thank you, God, that there will be great fruit in this house, stronger fruit on the inside. God, we bless them and we bless this house. We bless the leaders of this house. We thank you for new strategies. We thank you for plans being resurrected that have been dormant. We thank you, Father, for fresh insights, God, for the now season that this house is in. And we thank you, Father, for the glory resting upon MCC and the blessing that MCC is to this region, and for how you have made it to be a place, God, that your eye is on. We bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you again for having us.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Tanya. Appreciate you.